Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beyond Words, A Novel Idea. I'm your sound and audio engineer, Logan. Today, I'm joined by our host, Colleen, our co-host, Paul, and today, our guest is Steph Parker. She is the owner of The Goth Garden and Wicked Eden Wines, and is also the author of two children's books, Why Do Flies Come to Barbecues, and There Are Monsters in My Room.
Welcome back, Steph. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. Very excited
to talk to you about your book.
I'm glad to be back.
Okay, so you have two children's books in print.
Correct.
And we are going to talk about that. And I'm actually going to let Paul do a lot of the questioning today because he's a bit better versed in authors.
Yeah.
All right.
And Steph, I'm delighted to be here with a fellow author. Because I know how difficult it is to actually sit down and start writing. Everybody says, I'm going to write a book someday when I get around to it. And I used to go to a lot of writing conferences, and I had poker chips made with my name and my website on it with T-U-I-T written across the top of the poker chip. And I would hand them out and say, okay, here's your round to it. Now you got no excuse. You have a round to it. Go home and write. So I know you've gotten around to it at some point in your life. So when did you get your around to it? When did you sit down and say, I'm going to put pen to paper and start writing a book?
Well, I've been writing all my life. Like as a child, like I would submit things to the newspaper and then like little national competitions. But after combat, it kind of like messed with my ability to write. But I was, these books that I've written, the two that I did have, were before I had, you know, that issue. And that was in 2004. So I had been writing my whole life. But what brought the books into fruition, because again, it's one thing too to write it, it's a whole nother process to get it published.
Absolutely.
Wow. And that honestly took 15 years from writing the book to actually getting it published. So like when COVID happened and I opened up the winery, there was, actually I had a checklist. So the winery was one of them. And the other thing that was on my list was writing the children's books and having them published. Well, I'd already written them, but now I need to publish this book. So I was like, okay, Steph, well, you got to get this done before you die. So that's how I eventually got around to it. It again was COVID and being shown, you know, how short life can be. Life is precious.
You mentioned your combat time. You are a military veteran and did serve in combat.
Correct.
I know that has an effect on almost everyone who's ever been in combat, myself included. Did that have any impact on your writing as far as slowing it down or speeding it up?
It killed it completely. I could not go to that creative place. I was honestly at that point for about 14, 15 years, I was in a place where I could not do anything. That's why there was such a big gap in from writing the book to getting it published. It wasn't a lack of, you know, motivation. It was, I just could not get myself to do it. One, the creativity aspect was, the light was taken almost out of me. And two, the possibility of, oh my God, having to have contact with people.
So you wrote the book. And then it took you, what, 15 years before you were able, mentally, I guess, emotionally,
correct,
to put it out for the world?
Correct. I would honestly say that COVID, along with, there's some other aspect of another thing that helped me open up as a veteran, which I can get back to that, was actually telling my story. But yes, that was what brought me back. It was just simply that post-traumatic stress disorder had affected my ability to write and pretty much killed my my drive and will.
Okay, so what was the determining factor that pushed you over the edge to say, today is the day that I'm going to start marketing my book?
Well, what pushed me over the edge, again, being coming face to face with mortality and realizing that every day is not guaranteed. And I wanted to leave behind a legacy for my children. And that's what set that whole thing off. And again, it was right around after COVID. And I'm kind of glad that I did. Actually, I'm very happy that I did. I'm actually at a peace. That's a part of my peace.
I'm a novelist, and it's on my website. I've got 23 books in print, and between myself and Colleen, we've got 13 now movies. 13 or 14 movies that we have written and co-produced, and that are now out in the market. So I know how difficult it is to actually make that plunge, because you put yourself on those pages. I don't care if it's a children's book, if it's a horror book, if it's a book about space monsters, whatever it is, you are on those pages also. So you're putting a part of yourself out there for people to see, and hopefully they'll like it, but there's a chance that they won't. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that has an effect on you. I know from personal experience. So how did putting it out there and actually making that plunge, how did you feel after you made that decision to go ahead and do it?
Honestly, it felt great. I know what you mean about like being concerned if people are going to like the material or not. And I got that epiphany hit me. It wasn't when I was, you know, pushing this idea or talking to other bookstores and stuff. I felt confident and other adults reading the book, and everyone told me what great books they were. But it wasn't until I was, shameless plug, at Milner Community Library, my local library, where I did the reading for children. It was like an author, lunch with an author event. That was when I realized, uh-oh. The adults will mask, will tell everybody, what a great job. You get a free gold star. Children don't give that. Mm-mm. They are the most honest customer base on the planet.
They're and
they
ruthless.
Don't, yes, and they don't care about your feelings because the truth supersedes that.
Yeah.
So the night before I had to read my book to those kids, y'all, I didn't sleep a wink. I didn't care about any adults, any politicians that read my book. Nobody, no celebrity, nothing. It was the local children in Milner that had me to where I could not sleep, because they are truly my customer base.
Yeah.
And I chose, again, one of the most honest customer bases. And that morning, once I read to them, I received my answer. They loved my book. They cheered me on. This wasn't phony. Maybe I did write a decent kid's book. And that's, the children gave me the stamp of approval. No adults, it was kids.
One of the things that I hear all the time from people who want to write children's books is, I want to write my book and I want to illustrate it. Most publishers have people who do the illustrations themselves, so that as a writer, you write the story, somebody else does the illustrations. How did that work for you?
I agree. I didn't use, of course, I published my own books, but I did seek illustrators, and I used local artists or artists that I knew. For the first book, I used one of my friends, and then the second one I used a local artist who was Amy Renfro. She's Lamar Arts 2025 Artist of the Year. Nice. I used her to illustrate my books, because honestly, it's best to have another perspective, you know, and somebody else can bring an actual, some more life to your story. I would never suggest anyone to illustrate their own books, you know, unless you're some SCAD graduate, you know, and even then I still would suggest getting somebody else to do it.
You went the route of self-publication.
Correct.
Did you submit your book to any publishers first to get any feedback, or have you just decided that this is what I want to do?
Well, yeah, those commissions, you know, I wanted some money from my books. So, you know, it wasn't that nobody wanted to publish my book. It was just that, was I going to make a penny off of my book? And would I be able to retain all rights to my book? I knew that if I self-published, I would maintain all rights to my book. So that's why I chose that route. And it was not an easy route, because I did my homework, and I ended up publishing, from even formatting the book, everything, editing. I was in control of all of that. The con of that, again, it's hard, busy work. But the pros, again, you have full control.
So when you decided to self-publish, what platform did you use?
The very first one that I used was Book Baby. I had checked out Ingram first. Then I went to Book Baby, which I ended up buying into their platform, which opened up stores like Books A Million and Barnes & Noble. And I was paying for these different packages, marketing packages, to allow me to get into those different stores. The reason why I chose self-publishing, like, again, like some people would say, oh, it's shameful, but I would encourage anybody, if they have a story, publish it. Because who's to say these people in these companies know, you know, what's always best?
Right.
You know, who gets to decide that for the masses, you know? So I say put it out there. And if people like it, great. And if they don't, still, that was your dream. You put it out there, and I salute you for it.
Right. And I know, like you said, with the self-publishing now, you can get more out there. And publishing houses are notorious for being very, this year, you know, the shadow daddy trope is very popular. So that's all we're going to publish. And but you have something that's a different take on it. And they're not going to look at it because it doesn't fit within this trope, or you don't have enough social media following. We've seen that before too. So you're right, put that book out there. And I don't see it as shameful. I see it as being very aggressive and doing what you want and getting it out there to the public, like you said.
Yes, I like these platforms because it's like another tool for an artist. Like, a lot of people want to shame AI.
Right.
But I believe that gives every person the ability to be an artist. It gives them a tool to express themselves. So, and like on the second time I went through Amazon, which I would recommend for anybody who is publishing a book to recommend through Amazon. I recommend publishing through Amazon because it's way cheaper.
Is it easy?
Yes, it was way easier. The only downside is that you're, with publishing through Amazon, the options for like book sizes, paper types, and formats are kind of limited. Not kind of, a lot more limited.
That's never anything I would have thought of.
Yes, but to get the thing out there, I would suggest doing it that way. And I have zero regrets in that. I feel really good. You know, this was the second thing. The most powerful thing was giving birth to my child, you know, my three children, which I love dearly. But the second most powerful thing that moved me was when I first got my book, you know, in the mail. I was waiting like weeks for my first book to come.
It's like Christmas.
Oh my God. And when I saw the box of the author copies finally hit and I held it, I remember crying. I hadn't even got it open yet. And I'm like shaking. It was like a brand new baby. When I ripped it open, I literally had to take an hour to myself to get myself under, you know, wow, the emotion to see it. It was like a baby being born. It was like something that came out of my head was now real.
Right.
So I would love for that feeling. I would think everybody should experience that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So,
And with Amazon, do they offer like editing? Do they offer illustrations, in your case, for children books? What
they all offer those types of things, okay. Which will cost. Lucky for me, because I know artists, I paid them good, but I paid my artists, but I paid for the artwork, but I knew how to format the books and try to make things fit. Now, my books aren't 100% perfect, because again, this was something I just wanted to do. And honestly, another reason why I self-published is because I said, want to do it all by myself.
Yeah,
it was a thing I wanted to see if I could do it, and I did. And that, you know, so if anybody's like listening out there, you can do it. I did it, so there's no excuse.
Right, no excuse.
Your first book was the barbecue book.
Yes, Why Do Flies Come to Barbecues?
Why Do Flies? And I know you've told a story that the idea came from your daughter. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. So, Why Do Flies Come to Barbecues? All right. This is the book, Why Do Flies Come to Barbecues? And it's a cute, I'm just slamming the book down. And it's a cute little story about a bunny who has a barbecue in the woods and invites her friends, but she doesn't send an invite out to the flies. All right, and it goes back to the story of, and this is a true story of, we had a barbecue at my house when my middle child, my oldest daughter, we were having a barbecue, and it got swarmed out by flies. And my daughter looked over at me and she goes, Mom, why are flies always at barbecues? And at that time, I didn't have an answer, but I couldn't tell my child that because Mom always has it together. Yeah. So I looked at her, I said, I don't know, babe, but I'm going to have you an answer by the end of tonight. And that's when I went in and I wrote the story of why do flies come to barbecues. And it's pretty much, you know, flies come to the barbecues just pretty much to be rude. And no one likes that kind of behavior. So
rude flies.
Rude flies. Okay. And the moral of the story is to always check your behavior, be polite, and not to be a fly at company time, you know.
Right? It's just...
I think the other moral of the story is at least they aren't mosquitoes.
Oh, that's true.
That's the other book, right?
Yes, right?
So that's a good lead. So, and you wrote the other book.
Well, this book here is called There Are Monsters in My Room.
Yes.
This one right here. And this story was written because my youngest child, Reagan, was a bit of a scaredy cat when she was a little girl. And I know a lot of parents probably have to go through this as well, but that one child that is kind of scared, and you have to do the nighttime routine, right. You know. It just wasn't enough, again, doing all the perimeter checks with my PTSD. Now my daughter has me doing perimeter checks. So we would have to literally check the closets and things like that. So I decided to write a book that would help children go to bed at night and also help parents also feel better about the, not so much feel better, but not feel so alone and knowing that every child, you know, isn't, you know, what, for every parent to know that every child, how do I get this out? For every, excuse me, I can't think, okay? It's the espresso. But for some parents to know that they were not alone, that there are children that have issues with going to bed at night and they're not alone. And I was one of those parents. And now she's not afraid of nothing, okay? So it does turn around, y'all.
Be careful what you wish for.
Right?
Your title is interesting. And for me, it's kind of a play on words because you're saying there are monsters in my room, and a child would say, are there monsters in my room? So you're kind of giving them the positive that, yeah, there's monsters in your rooms. Do you see
mom's
that?
Mom's going to take care of it.
Well, see, the statement is the child saying there are monsters in my room, and I'm not discounting it. I'm going to go all the way around the room with them, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, you know? So, because I feel like children, they need to be validated. They need to know that their fears, those are real,
right?
You know? And usually a fear is what? A misunderstanding, not knowing. So the way to know is we're going to go through this checklist. We're going to go and look, and now look at there. There are no monsters. But that's something that they'll have to go through as they go on through this journey. And that's pretty much, I guess, like how life is,
yeah.
You know, a bit of.
And then, you've got mom or dad or grandma or whoever's taking care of the child that can reassure them that we're going to go through this pace. There's no monsters. But if there are, we're going to tackle that issue together, right?
Correct. Like the book, like in my specific book, when they go through this whole thing throughout the book, what they realize is that there were never any monsters. There were monsters, though, but it was in the mind, you know. And once you realize, and that's when the power comes in, you know, that we're going to be dealing in reality. There is no monsters. It was just a figment of your imagination, you know. Now you're at peace. In my book, though, as they go through and they're finding all these animals, like they're hearing the dresser drawers shake, then a moose jumps out of the drawers and it didn't bite. It's like different animals are coming out, but these are harmless, happy animals, you know. And so by the end of the book, they're like, well, no, there's no monsters in here, but it might be a zoo, right. You know.
So you're giving them some good coping skills.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Do you, and is this the which one did Amy draw?
Amy Renfro did the illustrations. In
do you want to show us some of the inside?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
because Amy is a local artist. She did win Artist of the Year.
She did.
She did.
Mm-hmm. This is it right here.
Oh, look.
Some of these are like, if you can see, let me find another one. I have to find, where's the monkey? That one's my favorite. He's on a vine.
Oh, look here. Oh,
but see, like, I'll give you a line, right?
Yeah,
see? I know that there's a monster in my window. I see its shadow all the time. I lay in the bed with the sheets over my head and hope that things are fine. But to my surprise, it was a happy little monkey swinging on a vine. So,
you. Yeah. I like that.
So I try to, scary. Then you're like, oh, a monkey. So that helps the child. It brings their anxiety levels down, you know, and helps them learn how to, and it's also a reminder, this is a human thing, you know. Yeah. So, look, this helps them cope.
Yeah, I think we, for my daughter, when we moved out of country with the military, she was really nervous, you know, a little scared. So we used, I think it was, no plug here, but it was Bath and Body Works, some of their body mist, and we called it the monster spray. I just peeled the label off, and we called it strawberry monster spray, and we'd spray every night, you know, make sure there's no monsters, and that's another coping skill. You know?
Yeah, so, that's actually a great idea. Yeah, we're going to have to add that. Yeah.
Body
that's
spray.
That's cool, yeah.
What age group do you write for, and a follow-up to that is, do you write for the child to read the book or for the book to be read to the child?
Well, I do write for children of, I would consider, primary, elementary school. I do have things for adults as well, you know, but I mostly write for children. And the books that I write, I try to write them as if the child was reading them or if a grandparent was reading it to a child, not a parent, but a grandparent, lovingly read. we love our kids, don't get me wrong. But I did. I wanted it to for the child to be able to read it. That's why I went with these type of real illustrations. I didn't want to go with anything computer generated. I wanted something that a child could feel and relate to.
When you were doing the reading, I noticed it had a poetic
cadence
to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was that intentional? I mean, is this written as a poem, or is it just, did it just happen?
Oh, I'm kind of dramatic, so I don't know. I don't know. It could be, you know, that's how I wrote it. When I read it and it's in my head, that's just how I say it. So honestly, you might could pick it up from when you read the book. You could probably pick that bit of rhythm up.
Yeah, it does. From what you read, it does have that cadence, that nice.
There's a poetic rhythm to it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Kids
rhythm.
Like that kind of
they
stuff.
They do. Yeah. It's comforting.
Yeah.
Very comforting.
Kind of Dr. Seuss-ish.
If Seuss. I love Dr. Right? Seuss.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody did.
Yes. And
does.
Yeah. What? So now you've got two books in print, and I know you're all over Barnesville, Lamar, Milner, and you've read some other places. What's next? What do you think, book-wise, what do you think you're going to write another children's book? Are you going to delve into young adult or adult fiction? Or what do you think?
Yes, I have one children's book that's already that we're working on right now. I want to Tracy Muse. She's also a middle school science teacher, lives here locally, and an artist, watercolor artist. She is illustrating the next book that I have coming out, which will be coming out in the next couple months.
Okay.
And then I have another children's book that'll be coming out right there after that. And I'm working on a poetry book. And I'll get more into that later. Hopefully I'll have another episode.
Absolutely.
But yes, I do continue to plan on writing more. I honestly love it.
Okay, good. Well, we look forward to seeing some more too.
From my experience, there are two kind of writers. There are plotters, PLOTTERS, and plotters, PLODDERS.
Okay.
People who plot everything out, they know exactly where they're going with their story from the opening sentence to the end sentence.
Their character has a biography.
And a plotter, spelled with a D, that's me. I have an idea of where I'm going, but I'm not sure how I'm going to get there. How do you write? Do you know exactly where you're going?
I'd say a little bit of both. I'm bi-plotter.
I like that, my daughter.
I think we just came up with a new word.
Credit to Steph on that one.
I do, because I know exactly what you're talking about with some stories. You know, I know beginning to end. You know, and what's crazy is I'll start with the begin. I would say, honestly, the ending, and then I work it backwards. And then with some, I'll get this, like, cool beginning, and then I have to go because I have to figure out where this is going, where this maze is taking me. So it really depends on the actual story, because I, you know, I probably do have both types of writing styles. But I'll be honest, I probably am a bit more of a plodder, because I think it's more interesting that way.
Organic.
You know? Yeah, because when everything's so structured and it's rigid, it's boo.
If somebody, yeah. if somebody asks, well, you have an interesting life. Are you a writer or are you a winemaker? Because we've talked to you before about your winery. Are you a winemaker or are you a writer?
I'm an artist.
Nice. Okay, that's a good answer. Yeah, that's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
You put your artistry in your writing and also in your winemaking.
Correct. Very they're good. Both yeah. they're yeah. both what I would consider to be pieces of art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Good,
yeah.
good answer. Good answer.
It's a great answer.
Yeah, I like that. Let me write that down.
Yes, as you should.
All right. Any last words for any future aspirations for people who want to write, you know, children's books or adult fiction or poetry? What would be, we don't want to say advice, because, you know, unsolicited advice, you're like, ugh.
I know.
Right? But what would you say, you know, would you tell them to do it, try it, get out there, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
My thought is this, you know, you got to get up and do it. You get out of that funk, get out of the disbelief that, you know, you can't, because you can. And there's no reason why in 2025, again, with self-publishing, why you can't get your book launched. And no, you might not be a New York Times bestseller overnight, but it's not about that. You know, at least for me, it wasn't, you know, right. For me, it was about fulfilling that dream. So, but and again, for most writers, that's what it's about, is just seeing your story being born and in print. I would suggest for them to go for it by any means necessary, whether it is self-publishing. And again, I would recommend getting an illustrator and an editor. Do yeah. not do that yourself.
Yes. Yeah. We have talked about don't edit your own work, because it never reads on paper how it does in your brain.
You cannot find your own mistakes. Yeah.
You can't.
You can't.
Because you will read the same way you talk.
Yes.
And I've noticed when somebody else reads something back to me, I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But when I wrote it, it sounded just fine.
Right.
And another set of eyes is always best. There's nothing wrong with letting somebody edit your work.
Cool.
You know. And again, well, going back to what Paul says, too, when you get ready to put this book out here, along with the glory, it might be some jeers. So you got to be prepared for that part, too. But, it, you know, again, take it with a grain of salt. That's the great thing about being an artist. You know, everybody ain't got to like your cup of tea, but at least be out there on the buffet.
Give them a choice. That's right. Give
them a choice.
Option.
Yep.
All right. Well, as always, it's lovely speaking with you, Steph, and we will include all of your Amazon links, any social links for people if they definitely want to pick up these books.
Thank you so much.
And look forward to your next two. Very excited for
Yay.
That. And again, if you have any questions out there, feel free to email us at the link below and like and subscribe for further
notes. I'm sure we will be talking to you again sometime.
I think we always love talking to Steph, because she always brings us wine.
Yeah.
And books.
And one more thing for you. We did this for him and her last week. What is book of the week for you?
Oh, yeah. We'll put you on the spot.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you reading?
Actually, I'm not reading anything right now besides some law.
Okay.
You know, like, literally, like, regulations and stuff. That's pretty much, honestly, what I've been reading.
So what are you doing for fun, then? What are you doing to kind of let your brain
What is out? Your current hobby?
What's your woosah?
Gardening.
Gardening?
Okay. I love gardening, and we got some tomato varieties down, several varieties, me and my little sweet thing, Steve.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
that's really awesome. Yeah. Me and him got a garden going, and I'm really enjoying that, and the growing the different varieties of stuff, food and vegetables that you just can't get around here. Plus, I love doomsday prepping.
Yeah, right.
I love making sure my PSR is super high, you know, and make sure that I can make it through a societal collapse, because I don't depend on the grid.
Right.
And neither should you. But
I'm very happy that I'm not the only one prepping for the zombie apocalypse.
Yes. We got checkpoints all throughout the state.
That's right.
We can edit all of that out.
Yeah.
Y'all welcome at my place.
All right. You're welcome here, too.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
We have two active wells over the house, so we'll always have water.
Thank you. Good.
All right. Again, it was great talking with you, and I'm sure we will see you again in the future.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.